Now this domain is so far from our normal domain that one only needs to read some good descriptions of this consciousness and wait for a time when we can ourselves enter into this consciousness. So we shall not dwell too much on this, because it will be so artificial. All these higher levels of consciousness, higher mind, illumined mind, intuitive mind, over mind, when they operate upon our consciousness, they usually take the form of words. The perception, the knowledge that is gained begins to be expressed in words. But the quality of these words is such that it discloses the reality in a manner in which it is almost miraculous for us. And these words, when they are presented to us in rhythmic manner, in poetry, we get what is called mantric poetry. The very words, when they are spoken, you feel there is something which is not normal, and yet it expresses so correctly, so clearly. Sometimes the rhythm is powerful. Sometimes the very words are powerful. Sometimes the style is powerful. The vision is powerful. But when all of them are combined together, the style, the rhythm, the vision, then it becomes so powerful that it begins to vibrate in your being, and you are brought nearer to the opening of that very consciousness in you. There are a few lines which I'll take with you. Talk to you about, taken from Savitri, Sri Aurobindo's Savitri. Savitri is full of mantric vibration. There is one passage on page 15 where Sri Aurobindo describes Savitri as a young woman. In her youth, the kind of consciousness that she possessed, Sri Aurobindo describes, and Sri Aurobindo himself has in one of his letters said that this is an example of overmind intuition, a kind of expression which came to him when Savitri was, as it were, seen. The truth of Savitri was seen in the overmental consciousness and expressed in the intuitive consciousness, an overmind intuition. I'll give you just now these 15-20 lines, and we shall read together just to feel some kind of an experience of this whole mental consciousness. finished?
Uncle, can the intuitive mind and the over mind be divided? Is there a distinction?
Yes, as I told you, over mind, intuitive mind is a spotlight.
So, just now I just said that it takes the form of poetry, which has so many other things.
Yes.
But in the intuitive mind, it will be a limitation.
There is a limitation. Right.
Limitation or maybe just words as we just
not
said.
Only words, but it will be much more powerful in the spotlight.
Yeah, but in the form of words, not necessarily mantric.
Yes, for example, there is a famous line of Shakespeare in Hamlet, to be or not to be, that is the question. It's not a mantric poetry, but there is in it a very powerful expression.
Revelation and an expression, that's right.
It's such an expression that you really feel that although it is a very simple sentence, you might say it's not even poetry. To be or not to be, that is the question. Even in prose you can write the same sentence. But it's a poetic expression, it's a part of poetry of Shakespeare. And when it is recited, it discloses something in
much
you,
much more
tremendously powerful. So powerful that even today, we feel that the quintessence of one of the moods of human experience is expressed in this one line. To be or not to be, that is the question.
And the mantric would be confined only to the over mind. No.
Even higher mind, illumined mind, intuitive mind, all these, what is called overhead consciousness. Overhead consciousness starts with the higher mind. Illumined mind, intuitive mind, over mind, super mind, all of them are overhead consciousnesses. Anything that flows from mantra has got three important qualities. The climax of the style, climax of a vision of the truth, and the climax of rhythm. When all the three are combined together, it becomes a mantra.
What I meant was this, the climax arises only in the preview of the over mind or also in the intuitive?
On all, wherever, but it must be the climax of the vision. In the intuitive mind, the climax of intuitive consciousness must be reached. Wherever a climax is reached, it begins to take the form of mantra.
Okay, it's a spotlight in the intuitive mind.
That's right.
The bigger vision in the
That's right. Okay. Now read this towards the end of this first page. All in her pointed to a nobler kind. I read from there. Have you got it?
Yes.
All in her pointed to a nobler kind. Near to earth's wideness, intimate with heaven, exalted and swift, her young, large vision spirit, voyaging through worlds of splendor and of calm, overflew the ways of thought to unborn things. Ardent was her self-poised, unstumbling will. Her mind, a sea of white sincerity. This is one of the best lines. Her mind, a sea of white sincerity, passionate in flow, had not one turbid wave. As in a mystic and dynamic dance, a priestess of immaculate ecstasies, inspired and ruled from truth's revealing vault, moves in some prophet cavern of the gods, a heart of silence in the hands of joy, inhabited with rich creative beats, a body like a parable of dawn, that seemed a niche for veiled divinity or golden temple door to things beyond. Immortal rhythms swayed in her time-born steps. Her look, her smile awoke celestial sense. Even in earth stuff and their intense delights poured a supernal beauty on men's lives. A wide self-giving was her native act. A magnanimity as of sea or sky, enveloped with its greatness all that came, and gave a sense as of a greatened world. Her kindly care was a sweet temperate sun, her high passion a blue heaven's equipoise. As might a soul fly like a hunted bird, escaping with tired wings from a world of storms, and a quiet reach like a remembered breast, in a heaven of safety and splendid soft repose. One could drink life back in streams of honey fire, recover the lost habits of happiness, feel her bright nature's glorious ambience, and preen joy in her warmth and colors rule. A deep of compassion, a hushed sanctuary, her inward help unbarred a gate in heaven. Love in her was wider than the universe. The whole world could take refuge in her single heart. The great unsatisfied goddess here could dwell, wakened of the dwarf self's imprisoned air. Her mood could harbor his sublimer breath, spiritual that can make all things divine. For even her gulfs were secrecies of light. At once she was the stillness and the world, a continent of self-diffusing peace, an ocean of untrembling virgin fire. The strength, the silence of the gods were hers. In her he found a vastness like his own. His high, warm, subtle ether he refound, and moved in her as in his natural home. In her he met his own eternity. These are the lines I wanted to present to you, just to feel the experience of what Sri Aurobindo himself has said over my intuition.